broadcasting live. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's a beautiful day over here in North Texas, and you have taken the time for some reason to listen to your favorite blockhead. The only podcast in the podcasting world that can somehow incorporate the Peanuts comic strip 1 minute and then be talking about MMA and Warriors Inside the Octagon the next. I appreciate you guys coming by this afternoon just to have a little bit of fun. I put my feelers out earlier this week just to see what you, the Blockhead Nation, wanted to discuss. And really, I expected a lot more to be about maybe the Peanuts comic strip. There's some new listeners that have come in going, oh man, I love the Peanuts. And because of that, I have to listen to what the nation asks for. And when I did that, I didn't realize that most of you want to know about what's going on in the UFC and current-day MMA and sports. So the YFB kite's been once again snagged by the kite-eating tree, so we won't be talking about anything to do with the Peanuts this week, but we will get into what a lot of you have asked me to cover. But just to have a little bit of fun to start off with, my good friend Tevin. He was on, I think, episode 107 a while back. Either way, Big Tev, good friend of mine. If you want to follow him on Instagram, his Instagram is at chose underscore me. That's at C-H-O-Z-E underscore M-E on Instagram. And usually when I tune into Tevin's show, I usually look in what if he's going to do some type of a workout. You know, he's a guy that is very good at keeping up with his body. And, you know, he's also sometimes goes on for motivational discussions. Well, either way, this time I didn't know what to expect. So I tune in to see that he's live. Okay. Well, the background is really dark at this point. And then I start hearing somebody behind a counter discussing the rules of what's about to happen. And a few minutes into it, I realize this boy is about to go into laser tag. He is literally at main event in Austin, Texas, and he is about to do an Instagram live while doing laser tag. Can you name anybody else that else would dare to go to that extreme for his viewers? I mean, maybe it was just a spur-of-the-moment thing. Either way, Tevin, I give you props. It was hard to follow your Terminator 2.0 trek that you took through there, but nonetheless, it was a little fun to just take a minute to watch you attempt laser tag, when, as I understand it, you have to keep both hands on the gun for it to be able to activate and work properly. But either way, somehow you pulled it off. A little bit of an interesting take there. If you want to go back and follow him once again, follow his Instagram, and also we might need to have Tevin back on the show one day. Now, to correct a mistake, yours truly, your favorite blockhead, wants to come and say, I emphatically apologize for, on my part, giving out false information. If you listen back to my other episode, I mentioned something about the UFC 4 game that's coming out soon for Xbox, for PS4, and I think even PS5. Again, I'm not a video gamer. I just happen to notice that there have been several, not just one, but many different graphic designs that have been done for UFC 4, the game. And I believed when I was looking at this that this was this picture had made its rounds, and it was a picture of all the title holders. So I apologize for that not being the final decided upon end product for the video game. That we're going to find out about that, I think, maybe in mid-July at some point. I think July 11th might have been the time that they discussed when the final UFC 4 cover for the video game is going to be announced. But either way, this one has definitely made its rounds throughout the internet. Most people have given more positive interaction on this one than they have some of the other ones. There's also another one that has Kamaru Usman on it. It has mostly the Nigerians. But this one had all the title holders. This one had Khabib. This one had Israel Adesanya. And this one had Jorge Masvidal. And more often than not, that one was getting a lot of good feedback. And it's possible that that could still be the cover that comes out. But either way, me not being a video gamer, that doesn't help my case much. But either way, I was excited about that. Either way, we'll see what happens with the UFC 4 game moving forward with that into mid-July. And while I'm on the topic of Instagram, Cadillac Ranch happens to be on my page. If you look there, there was a time that we got to go visit the family before this COVID-19 outbreak happened, or it was actually in the process of really devastating the whole country, and we went out to Cadillac Ranch. And those pictures that we have of me at Cadillac Ranch at the particular different Cadillac does have a YFB logo on it. Well, I'm pretty sure it's no longer there, but what was cool to see is Michelle Watterson of the UFC, the Karate Hottie, was recently out there at Cadillac Ranch enjoying herself. So I don't know if it was easily to see that one on the very last Cadillac out there, but, you know, if it was, great. If not, there have been plenty of visitors that are still going out there that are pulling out their spray cans and putting together a little bit of creative art. I'm not sure what she put together. Either way, she just said that she got to experience it. So good for Michelle Watterson to be able to enjoy Cadillac Ranch. Good for you, Karate Hottie. And again, with all the listener feedback, what has been asked of me the most at this point is with other sports that are coming back. As you know, NASCAR came back, and then you have the opening day of Major League Baseball, what we're looking into. Is there going to be a reintroduction of basketball, and will football season eventually become a reality? This whole spike that's happened in UFC, are the fans going to start declining? And my answer is, of course. Those of you that are coming here, you are hearing the selfless act of yours truly, trying to make it easier to understand the MMA community. You're able to listen to the thankless job that Loudon Opinionated and Rhea JG are willing to do for you to share with you their thoughts on MMA and what's happening in the UFC or other organizations. But really, when it comes down to it, there's so much when you're watching UFC that's available on ESPN+, and this is not a sport that slowed, you know, not compared to the other ones. There was no cancellations. There were just postponements until we finally got to the apex, and we had the crowdless fights that were happening and different diameters for the cage. And either way, you still have events that are happening every single weekend. Well, Dana White is continuing to prove that he's not letting fear drive the UFC. That would be the only answer I've got for if your sport's coming back and the spike that happens is no longer there, are we able to retain anybody? Well, at least we can know those that have ordered ESPN+, you're going to have easy access to UFC anytime that you want it. Everything from the best to Ariel and the bad guy to everything that's coverage that's going on. I can tell you that maybe there will still be an appreciation for those of you that are coming here because word of mouth matters. And I can honestly just not see the same number of fans that are tuning in on every single fight when the void that's in their heart is filled by watching the sport that they truly love. It was just, you know, a placeholder. And either way, there's not going to be, I can see how there might be an appreciation for it once again, but people are realizing, oh, this isn't just some human cockfighting, that you can see how it cleaned up, and you can easily find that out just by watching Chuck and Tito. I mean, I know that I've mentioned many times how I detest Tito Ortiz, but as far as the documentary that came out on ESPN Plus about Chuck and Tito, Team Chuck Liddell versus Team Tito Ortiz, very much worth your time to see what could have aspired for the sport if we had not gone in the direction that we have, and if we didn't have the leadership of Dana White. Say what you want about the guy, but when he was put on this earth for one reason and one reason only, to be the president of the UFC. And many people other than myself are convinced about that at this point. So, if I may, those were what was asked to be covered at the start of this episode. But if you look at the title, I truly believe that when it comes to the gentleman I'm going to discuss tonight, we do have a wonderful fight between Dustin Poirier and Dan Hooker. That's the main event. Co-main event's going to be Mike Perry versus Mickey Gall. But if you happen to leave, regardless if you are a true MMA fan or not, if you leave this podcast and you are not a fan of the Diamond Dustin Poirier, or at least you have a newfound respect for this man, I have failed as a podcaster. I have failed as a hobbyist, a person who seeks to entertain and educate and be able to bring my voice, my mouthpiece, my slight talent thereof to the podcasting world. If you leave this show and you are not wanting to invest in Dustin Poirier, I have let you down. And we will discuss that in length for the next couple of minutes here on the show. Thank you so much once again for listening to the Your Favorite Blockhead Podcast. And you know, guys, when you listen to my show, you're going to get an earful about mixed martial arts, everything from the UFC to Bellator MMA. But guys, NASCAR is back. That's right, motorsports are starting to kick off again. And if you want to get the best analysis on everything motorsports, then I'm going to send you towards my friend, The Burnout by Chris Barnett. Guys, The Burnout is the podcast for you to go to get all discussions about everything motorsports, from NASCAR all the way to Indy Supercross to the NHRA Mellow Yellow Series. You can even get the history of monster trucks to the destructive Gravedigger. You can learn this and more and really embrace motorsports by checking out The Burnout. Go to his show, The Burnout by Chris Barnett, on Anchor.fm, on Google Play, and Spotify. Be sure and check it out. I am your favorite blockhead, and I approve this message for The Burnout Podcast. Welcome back, Blockhead Nation. As always, thank you for tuning in to the show. Our scripture of the day is going to come from Psalms chapter 37, verses 23 through 24. The steps of a man are established by the Lord. When he delights in his way, though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. Now, the commentary that I pulled from this in Blue Letter Bible is from a gentleman named Matthew Henry, and what he's talking about is something that I'm sure can resonate with a lot of you men that are tuning in today. And though the leaf of a man is going to wither, the root shall be kept alive by the Father. So if you feel wilted, and if you feel like you've been through many storms in your life as you tune in, there's going to be a spring after the winter. And know that when I share the truth with you on this episode. And as I continue to make my way back into the content, once again, this is what's been asked of me. When I ask my listeners, what do you want me to discuss? More often than not, I'm getting back responses that y'all want me to talk about MMA. And I'm more than happy to talk about this gentleman that's going to be fighting in the main event tonight for UFC, which is Dustin the Diamond Poirier. Now, before I even get into more of the accolades, it's not often that boxing legend, boxing legendary commentator Teddy Atlas, who has his own podcast, it's not often that he asks MMA fighters to come onto his show. Dustin Poirier has been a guest on The Fight with Teddy Atlas. Now, to continue further on, if you're not going to invest in the man, know that Dustin Poirier is the founder of the Good Fight Foundation. If you start looking back through a lot more of his other fights, regardless of it's him defeating Eddie Alvarez, beating Justin Gaethje, or beating Max Holloway for the interim championship, whenever he finishes a fight, what he does is he donates his attire. So if he has t-shirts, or if he has something he wore to the cage that gets auctioned off, it goes back into the Good Fight Foundation. A young kid by the name of Aaron Hill. Now, I'm not very knowledgeable about ALD, as in how the sensories in your body start to shut off. And he basically went from a very happy young man to having to be in a wheelchair and not being able to have access to the regular children's playground. Well, his wish when Make-A-Wish came to him was not to go to Disney World, not to meet somebody that he admired. He wanted, in Lafayette, Louisiana, where he lived, for a playground to be installed that is easily more accessible for kids with disabilities. So those that go and play have the same accessibility and the same opportunity to enjoy themselves and have fun and not have to struggle with anything on the playground. And a bench is dedicated there today in Aaron Hill's memory. Well, if you watch anything about Dustin Poirier and the relationship he has with the family and how touched he is by Aaron's story, when he came and faced Khabib, even though Khabib ended up being the undisputed champion, you'll notice that both of them swapped shirts. So instead of auctioning off just Dustin's shirt, Khabib offered his shirt and his purse for that fight to be donated to the Good Fight Foundation. And there's also many work that he's done in the community with, I'm not sure if they're soup kitchens, I'm not sure if it's just meals for the community, but Dustin Poirier is a man that very much gives back. But he has a special place in his heart for this playground, and he saw to it that this became a reality. He is also the recipient of the 2020 Forrest Griffin Community Award, which is not easy to gain this award. So all that being said, all you gotta do is go back and look at YouTube. Take a look at Dustin Poirier. Take a look at the Good Fight Foundation. You do a little bit of research on that. And I believe that if you have nothing to do tonight, if you have ESPN Plus or if you have not ordered the pay-per-view, it's worth your time to watch the main event. To watch, even though Dan Hooker has been on a roll lately. This is even a guy who is trying to challenge Gaethje if he has the opportunity to. Either way, the outcome of this story, Blockhead Nation, cheer on the diamond. Are you a fan of Dustin Poirier yet? I would hope you would be, having laid out all the credentials that he doesn't need me to speak for him. But Blockhead will be cheering loudly and proudly for Dustin the Diamond Poirier tonight. And if you want to check out Mike Perry versus Mickey Gall in the co-main event, now that one's a fun one too. Anytime Mike Perry goes on, it's fun. But once again, this is a unique character to say the least. To get further into what some of you have asked me about, we have the trilogy. There's a fire that's burning, and I use that as a play on words. I use that as a pun. I'm referring to Cleveland. All you gotta do is go back and look at some of these videos that have been done, again, on ESPN Plus, on Ariel and the Bad Guy. I've been spending a lot of time watching those just to see if I can get a few notes down that are applicable. But when I look further into this fight, if you think that Stipe Miocic is not offended or at least fired up by the words that Daniel Cormier has been using, all you gotta do is know about when you have a spouse that comes out and who has lived with this man, eats alongside him, sleeps next to him every single night, who knows his moods. Stipe's wife has made it clear that if you think that wasn't bothering him when Daniel Cormier was running his mouth about being the better fighter, yes, Stipe took that personally. I will take to the bank what Stipe's wife says about his moods and about what he really thinks of his adversary. And when it comes down to it, the fire is burning. Cleveland's got a fire burning, and his name is Stipe Miocic. You got a very talented wrestler that wants redemption, that doesn't want to go out on the bottom, even though that would be the common way to leave this sport, is to go out on bottom instead of on top. And also, the same thing is happening in other entities. So Stipe versus DC3 coming up in August. What an explosive fight that's going to be. And also, recently, America's Top Team. You have a particular person that leaves the gym. And that man would be Colby Covington. How do we know? Our sources are Jorge Masvidal himself. And it makes me wonder, even if there might have been some type of bad blood between Colby and Jorge, my wonder is, these are guys that have sparred with each other. These are guys that have trained together. In the ESPN special about Tito and Chuck, it was laid out by Dana White that they were in a sparring session, and Chuck lays a body shot on Tito, and Tito starts rolling around on the ground and just screaming bloody murder, and there's that moment of, oh my gosh, this is the guy we built our whole entity behind? And yes, it's pretty easy to figure out if you follow my show that there are three guys that check the boxes on people that YFB simply doesn't like. One of them is Tito Ortiz. The other one is Brent Primus of Bellator MMA. And the third one is Colby Covington. If you happen to like his style, More power to you. I just simply don't like the guy. And him leaving America's top team, and we're hearing it from Masvidal, it just goes, it was proven that Tito was not better than Chuck during sparring. And they're going, this is not the guy, pointing to Chuck. That is the guy that is the real deal. So you wonder, what is Colby running from when it comes to America's top team? Because it sounds like he's going solo, which never works out. Particularly if you were to leave Team Quest and you try to fly solo, there's got to be more to this than meets the eye. And usually in MMA where there's smoke, there's fire. But again, this is all a little bit of speculation behind that. And I can bring it back to you now at this point that I've mentioned Stipe versus DC3. Even though that one is a great story, the problem is the now what in the heavyweight division. There's going to be, I want to use the term controlled chaos, but this is going to be a mess at this point. Just looking at the top contenders in the heavyweight division, we recently have Curtis Blaydes, who puts on a wrestling clinic, and I've had a few people tell me that was a snooze fest. Now, hang on a minute. If you will, there are more people that appreciate the striking and want a bloodbath than they do to see the technique of a wrestler. And if you watch, there's even things like head movement that were annoying to Volkov, but every time that Curtis Blaydes even touched Volkov on the chin, yeah, there was some impact, but it wasn't, he didn't really feel any of the blows that Curtis Blaydes had. So when you change up your game, you change up your technique, obviously the wrestling worked out, but as we saw, Curtis Blaydes in the post-interview is just blown up like a balloon, and he needs to work on his conditioning, but wrestling will wear you out. Talk to anybody that tries to win on a wrestling five rounds in the main event. This is something that happened with Claudia Gadelha whenever she faced Joanna JJ for the championship. And, of course, the last fourth or fifth rounds, she was too gassed and wasn't able to make anything happen against the champ. Wrestling will absolutely wear you out, will absolutely tire you to the brink. And Curtis Blaydes realizes this, but this is a guy who's ranked number three. Number two on it is Francis Ngannou. Now, if you have, let's just speculate for a second. We have the match between DC and Stipe. Stipe ends up winning. The two out of three. Now what? We're going to face Ngannou again? We've already seen that Stipe can get the best out of him. We're going to have, now if we end up having DC who wins the best two or three, then you got a fresh Kona Payton. DC versus Ngannou makes all kinds of sense. But again, Curtis Blaydes versus Ngannou for a number one contendership or an interim title belt, you've already had the best two out of three of those two, and both times Ngannou has beaten Blaydes. So we have a little bit of a mess in the heavyweight division at this point. We're excited about Stipe versus DC3, the now what is really not intact for this division. Dana White has also said before, to sell a fight, you need conflict and you need a story. Well, honestly, YFB and my other guys that are out there that are doing podcasts are helping you with the narrative, but we need the conflict. You don't really have any solid conflict except for Stipe versus DC3, but you do have a few other ones that are coming up, and I guess one of the big conflicts for me is for some of you to talk about how Kamaru Usman of the welterweight division is what? What's the nickname he's given? Snoozman? Okay, every time I go back and look at the welterweight division, I look at Usman. Nothing about his fighting style is boring. But maybe you don't have that key ingredient that allows casual fans to keep sticking with it. You want conflict? The two biggest sells in the history of the sport have been Conor versus Nate Diaz. You can look back at the formula of Chuck Liddell versus Tito Ortiz, and the conflict was there. The story behind Kamaru Usman is a guy who, when you have the GSP era that comes to an end, you go on into the Hendricks, which was a very short era, very short-lived, into the Robbie Lawler era, then into the Tyron Woodley era, and recently you have Usman, who very much out-wrestled Tyron Woodley, who was able to give the best game of his life against him, being able to humble Colby Covington. And now you tell me that his fighting style is a snoozeman? And Gilbert Burns, who is able to step right in and says, what I want is the title. Yeah, you got two friends. These guys have sparred with each other. They train and wrestle with each other. So the conflict is the problem, but the story is, who wants to hold on to the title? Does Usman want it? Does Gilbert Burns want to come in and take what is rightfully his? Because Masvidal didn't see any validity in the numbers. And again, you know how I feel about that. For Masvidal, I don't see any conflict between Masvidal and Diaz. The conflict is in the doctor stoppage. There's not any bad blood there. Again, what's going to bring people in is going to be the conflict. We're missing a key ingredient, no matter how much I give you the storyline and the narrative here. So the heavyweight division being in control of chaos, Usman for some reason not having the conflict that you're looking for, Stipe versus DC, a fire is very much burning there, but it's also burning amongst Team AT&T. I guess the only one that can bring true conflict would be Masvidal versus Colby Covington. Is that the fight to make in the future? I guess we will see. The beautiful story that's coming tonight is the heart of Dustin Poirier. Even if Dan Hooker ends up being the one to dethrone him, and now is there going to be a conflict and a storyline buildup between him and Justin Gaethje? It's hard to tell until we have him versus Khabib. Thinking maybe that's what would have to be the key element to bring people back to the sport at this point. Thank you for once again following my train of thought here amongst all of these different topics. Thank you, as always, Blockhead Nation. I truly appreciate the support. A little bit different this time. If you want to give any support to yours truly, you got the website, ko.fi.com/yourfavoriteblockhead. Go to the Ko-fi account, leave yours truly a cup of coffee. Be looking forward to next week. I have a special surprise for you if everything works out according to plan. And this is Your Favorite Blockhead, and we will see you next Saturday. Same Blockhead time, same Blockhead channel.